Hello, hello, and welcome to the Mostly Soccer Podcast. Today is Wednesday, May 26th at 4:52 p.m. sharp. My name is Michael J. Dalo, and today I'm here with Jimmy. Jimmy, what today?
Jimmy Final.
Jimmy Final. Jimmy, you got to speak up with that
Jimmy,
new mic.
Well, I got a brand new bike. It's supposed to be good, and you tell me you can't hear me?
I can hear you if you speak into it like that.
Okay, I'm going to speak very clearly.
See, that's you need to speak louder, though.
Okay, so usually I get told I'm too loud. Today I'm
now louder.
Soft. I am full of excitement, so I need to scream.
That's the
everything.
Perfect level right
this
there.
This is literally screaming. I have to scream into the mic.
You have to scream into it for today.
Okay. So Jimmy Screams. I'm changing my name.
Jimmy Screams. We can never figure out any audio, any editing, and that's why we do our testing of microphones live for everyone to hear.
Well, we did spend, let's be clear, we've spent 20 minutes now testing the microphones.
That's true. That's true.
enough time for us to lose money on the Europa League final.
Yeah. That's where we have to start, by the way. So we're going to talk about the end of the Premier League season, where some of these teams placed some of the accolades, all of which went to Harry Kane, so there's really not much to talk about. And just quickly touch on the Euros, but we really want to preview that Champions League final for Jimmy, because it's a big day for old Jimmy over here. But right now, we're actually watching the Europa League final live, and Manchester United, I despise this club with every fiber of my being, Jimmy. You know that.
I do know that.
You know that of all the teams in the world, Manchester United is probably my least favorite.
They suck.
They suck. I hate them. I hate everything about them except for the fact that they wear the color red, but it's not the right color red. Anyways, where I was going with this is that I put a bet on Manchester United at even money to win the Europa League against Villarreal. Only bad teams lose against Villarreal. Only Arsenal Football Club lose against Villarreal. Manchester United, I hope you lose against Villarreal because you just lost me my bet going into extra time. You deserve the worst. Your fans deserve the worst. Glazers in. I'm Glazers in. Hot take on the podcast. Glazers in.
Well, we have the name of the podcast.
That is exactly what this club deserves. Glazers in.
Glazers in. All right. So this is the Unai Emery of a revenge game against... Well, you already had the revenge game. This is the Unai Emery... What is it? Like confirmation. He gets to win his trophy. A year removed from Arsenal, he wins a trophy.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense, actually, if he did.
Wow, I'm just getting a good look at Paul Pogba's hair right now. Sorry, I was sidetracked by whatever the hell that is.
And you can't really root for a team with Bruno Fernandes, can you?
No. Very hard.
Very whiny face. You know, he has a Gabriel Jesus type face.
He does. And it's easy to, you know, you can root for Parejo too, because he may be the slowest professional athlete you've ever seen. Makes Mertesacker look fast. You got to root for a guy like that.
Oh, it's true, Jimmy. But anyways, what's your prediction here going into extra time? Well, I mean, I'm sure by the time we're finished, this game will probably be over and we'll have a winner. But what's your prediction?
Like you said before, this just screams an annoying Manchester United win. And I can already see the Twitter accounts, Manchester United European champions. Let's like leave out the fact that it's the Europa League, not the Champions League. But I can already see it happening. It's the same thing that happened the year when Zlatan was there and they won the Europa League. And he talked about winning them a European championship and all that. So, they're gonna win. They're going to win.
I'm backing Villarreal in penalties. Unai Emery subbed on Francis Coquelin, I think it was, for Carlos Bacca at halftime. So he took off a striker for a CDM. Unai Emery is firmly intent on getting to penalties today, Jimmy. And I think he's going to do it and he's going to win.
I hope so. If you remember, I picked Villarreal weeks and weeks ago to win this whole thing. So I hope it happens.
I hope so, too. I'm rooting for old Unai here just to rub it in Arsenal fans' faces even more. But we'll keep you posted on what happens here. We'll probably get a little oohs and ahs throughout the the time here. But I'm betting that Villarreal parked the bus and Man U can't find a way to break through. So we shall see. But anyways, Jimmy, let's launch into the final match week of the Premier League. Can you imagine? We're already done.
I know. It's wild. I feel like it was just yesterday that we did our comeback episode for Project Restart. And that was last season. That was the end of last season.
Those are the good old days. Project like, Restart.
Do you know what I mean? Like that feels like yesterday.
It does.
And now we've had a whole season happen after that. It's crazy. A good season for me. Started off rough and ended beautifully. And I do want to say, I think if you listen back in this podcast, you will see I never lost faith that City were going to have a good year, even when they were sitting in like 13th place after 8 games.
Yeah. Yeah, you were, I mean, you never jumped off the City bandwagon. I can give you credit for that. Something you said, it was a good year for you at the end. It was a terrible year for me all the way throughout for Arsenal. I couldn't be happier that this season is over. I will say Arsenal, they finished the season pretty strongly. Gave us hope that we might make some type of European competition, even if it was the Europa Conference League. But
is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I was going to ask you that, the new league, whatever it is.
The NIT league.
Yeah, it's not even the NIT. It's like below the NIT.
It really is.
Because the Europa League is kind of the NIT.
Yeah. And they were unsuccessful in doing that despite their best efforts. But overall, I'm so glad that this season is over. We ended on a high note, which is perfect to get my hopes up for next season. And then inevitably crush me about 3-4 games in. So, the cycle is repeating itself and nature is healing. But Jimmy, where do we even start? I think where we need to really start is maybe Chelsea. Chelsea had everything on the line, kind of, because they still have that Champions League final coming up. Mm-hmm. But all they had to do was beat Villa and they were in. That was it.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And they got bailed out by Spurs defeating Leicester City.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I brought up Chelsea first, but Leicester and Chelsea are entwined here. Who is a bigger choke job? It's got to be Leicester City.
It's so harsh but the thing is, this is something I think we talked about all year. We talked about the squad size for Leicester being what stopped them last year. Injuries at the end last year made them fall out of top four right at the end. And they literally did the exact same thing this year.
Yep.
To a T. Injuries again. Justin injured, Madison injured for a portion, just injuries caught up to them again. It's rough. It's really rough. I think they're the bigger, I guess, choke job. It is them because they were there all year and then lost it in the last two games of the season. But I mean, Chelsea, this is like their season has been so close to amazing and so close to horrible all right at the same time. And making top four, I guess at this point, solidifies that it is not horrible. They managed to do the minimum that they needed to do. And, you know, to Tuchel's credit, which looked very difficult to do when he took over.
Yeah.
But they lost the FA Cup final to Leicester City. And congrats on Leicester for winning that. I bet a lot of their fans probably would take that trophy over making top four.
I agree.
I don't think they've ever won the FA Cup before. So that's a major achievement. And for Chelsea, I mean, there's still a chance they win the Champions League and the season looks amazing. But I mean, if Leicester had won that game and gone in, Chelsea would have had so much pressure going into the Champions League final.
It would have been unbelievable. It would have been the perfect day if Spurs had just lost to Leicester. Arsenal would have made Europe. Chelsea would have been out of top four. Spurs would have missed Europe as well. It would have been the perfect day as an Arsenal fan, but it wasn't to be. But yeah, I mean, I agree that Leicester fans would definitely take the FA Cup over making top four. I mean, it's probably less important financially to the club, but as a fan, the sentiment is that you want to win a trophy. So that's definitely agreeable. I see that. But you have to be so disappointed if you're a Leicester City fan, because like you said, they were there basically all year. Mm-hmm. And it always comes down to the end of the year. They blew it. Like, they lost to Newcastle in this run, which if they had those points, they would have easily made top four, no question. And now they've missed out again. They'll be back in the Europa League, which they were bounced out of kind of early this year. So I don't know. It's just like I'm always pulling for Leicester because they're not the traditional big six top four club. I mean, they kind of have become that, but it's always disappointing to see Chelsea and Liverpool sneak in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all their fault, Leicester City. I mean, they really blew it. They went ahead. They were tied. They went ahead again.
Own goal.
They were tied. Yeah, Kasper Schmeichel, own goal. And then Spurs just finished them off at the death. It was a sad, sad day for Leicester City. And it should have been a sad day for Chelsea, but they were really bailed out by their North London rivals.
Yep, that's the truth of it. I mean, in the end, the top four finishes City, United, Liverpool, Chelsea. Seems kind of fair, I guess, if you look at the season as a whole.
Kind of.
I mean, Leicester are probably the only team you could say that really could have deserved to be in there. Like, you look at
and they missed out.
And they missed out. Yeah. But just missed out, too. But in the end, I mean, I think everybody else deserved it. Liverpool went on a great run the end of the season to be able to solidify it. Helped out by the Alisson header.
Yeah, seriously.
And in the 93rd minute against West Brom. But, you know, had a really rough season with a lot of injuries throughout the team. And was able to make top four, which is what really matters in the end.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, if you went by NBC, it was actually the biggest accomplishment in the history of football that they were able to do it.
Jurgen Klopp said it was his greatest accomplishment.
Yeah.
Disgusted.
Yeah.
Jimmy's face is disgusted.
I was so mad when they spent the first 10 minutes at the 10 minutes of the end of the season, the wrap-up show, talking about Liverpool making third place. That it was the biggest thing that happened.
In their defense, City had won the league 5 weeks ago.
It doesn't matter. It was just, it was frustrating. It was really frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I wish we had more weeks like this final match week, though, where all the teams play at the same time. I don't know. I just love that dynamic of everything going on at once. But obviously, at the end of the season, the points matter wherever you are. So that was a lot of fun just to kind of go back and forth between those games, lose all my money on those, per usual. But yeah, the top four race, I mean, that was really the only race of the season, probably after 20-ish games in. So, I mean, it did go down to the last day. We really can't complain there. And credit to Liverpool, Jimmy. I know you don't want to talk about Liverpool, but they deserve credit.
Absolutely.
They were pretty far out, and they clawed their way back in.
Oh, absolutely. I have nothing against what they did. I have it against the way they was covered. But no, they, like I said, they went on a great run at the end of the season when it looked like they were out. After the draw, the back-to-back draws against Leeds and Newcastle, it looked like it was done for Liverpool. I think everybody was ready to put the nail in the coffin. And then to end the season, five straight victories, including the victory over United.
Yep.
They did what they had to do. And they deserve to make it. Again, with all the injuries they had and all of that, to overcome it and make top four was a great accomplishment.
Yep. Ooh, almost Villarreal. Sorry, not to get sidetracked. Villarreal almost had a chance. But yeah, credit to Liverpool. I think it's better that they're in the Champions League because I think they would have easily dominated the Europa League.
Yep.
It would have almost been no contest, or at least it should have been. We're seeing that things that should happen in sports usually don't. Man U being drawn with Villarreal in the final, i.e. But, Jimmy, where should we go next? Should we mention that Arsenal have also won four matches in a row, actually five in the Premier League, and only finished 6 points out of top four? If they won two more games, they would have finished in the top four. How do you feel about that, Jimmy?
It shows how poor the majority of the teams were this season.
Exactly my thoughts. This year feels like such an anomaly because, you know, COVID and everything, no fans in the stadiums. Teams, aside from City, and City even had a very bad patch of form. They
had a terrible start to the season.
Right.
Absolutely terrible.
I mean, teams are bad this year. Mm-hmm. The playing field is very level for anyone to come in and beat anyone week by week. And Arsenal have had an abysmal year, and to finish only two games outside of the top four tells you a lot about this Premier League season.
Well, I mean, if you want to talk, City finished with 86 points, which is the lowest the league winner's been in a while.
Yeah.
And they still finished 12 points clear of United.
Wow.
On 86 points. Yeah. Like, previous three seasons, City would have been, I don't know, 14, 12 points off the top themselves.
Yep.
Like, that's how the season has been. It's been a very competitive season because all the teams just haven't really been that good.
Yeah, and it's been a very manipulated season. If I would push my agenda on everyone here just for a moment, if VAR didn't exist, Jimmy, I don't know how subjective this is. I think this is like goals that were called back and overturned.
Expected goals, maybe, or something like that.
I think for expected goals, Arsenal finished exactly where they were supposed to. Huh. Honestly, but as far as like VAR decisions going against and for, Arsenal would have finished in the top four if VAR didn't exist this year, which is not that hard to believe. I mean, I can think of two games right off the rip where if VAR didn't exist, Arsenal would have almost definitely won. The Wolves game, Mm-hmm. With David Luiz getting a penalty and then a red card, which is insane. We dominated that game. And then Fulham, where Bukayo Saka is called offsides for being a toenail off. So just it's a funny season, Jimmy. Arsenal also had the joint most calls go against them from VAR at -6 net decisions. I think Liverpool were also down there. And I think West Brom might have been the other team, if I'm not mistaken. I very well could be. But just interesting. Just interesting to see how the stats go against you, how the decisions always go against the same clubs. Mm-hmm. What was more shocking, I think, was that United had a net zero for calls going against or for them. But
hey, I mean, speaking of United, we should talk about their team a bit. Ole got a lot of gripe over the last few years.
Ole.
Ola.
Ola. I like you.
It's kind of a
Borat. I like sex.
Borat Gunnar Solskjaer. A lot of criticism over the last few years. Some of it very much justified. Some of it maybe a little harsh. Did get United to finish in second place. Had only 6 defeats, which is the same amount of defeats that City had.
Undefeated away.
Undefeated away, correct. A good season from it. The best season they've had, if they win the Europa League, which is we're watching right now, if they pull that off, and you could say, I guess, maybe the Zlatan season where they won that and the league, the FA Cup maybe.
Yeah.
Or the League Cup, whichever cup
the
it
Jose,
was. The Jose...
Treble.
Treble, as he called it, yeah. Outside of that season, and I would say even maybe more so, this might be the best season they've had since Sir Alex Ferguson left. Definitely the season where they look like they've made the most progress at developing forward. I think that, you know, I think Fernandez has shown to be, you know, a major difference maker for them, whether it be a lot of penalties or not. Luke Shaw has come alive to probably be the starting left back for England in the Euros. Harry Maguire had a good season. I think Dean Henderson's looked good in moments when he's played. Cavani's ended up being a great signing. This has been, at least it looks like, you know, that they're kind of headed in the right direction, and they're maybe a few signings away from, you know, maybe challenging again. And I don't know if I want to really go there, because there's moments when I watch United where I think they look great, and there's moments when I watch them and I still think they look horrible. So they are very much like most teams in this league, which is it really depends on the day.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to make an early prediction here, and I'm going to say that United don't finish. I mean, I don't think they're going to win the league next year by any stretch, but I don't think they finish in second either. I think they're going to be a third, fourth team. I don't know if with fans and stadiums you can go undefeated away as not easily as they did. I know they battled back in a lot of these matches, but I think it definitely adds something. I think the United fans are so disgruntled right now too that potentially even having them in their home stadium might be an issue for them next year to a certain extent if they go down early or something like that. Because one of the things that this United side have done so well this year is battle back into games and come away with victories. So we'll see. We'll see, Jimmy. But yes, credit to Ole. Credit to United, a team that we love to laugh at the beginning of this season. They were doing just as poorly as Arsenal. And they obviously turned it around and have come away with, I mean, a season to be proud of. Even if they don't win the Europa League, This is a season that they can be proud of.
Yeah, it's a season to build upon. Definitely. That's what I really think. It actually felt like that, I think, for them this year.
Yeah. Yep. And speaking of seasons to build upon, we should go to North London. Let's talk about Arsenal first. I know we talk about Arsenal every week in depth, so we don't have to do it this week. Yep. Off these last 5 matches, off the form since December, I think it was, Arsenal have finished, I think, only they're somewhere in the top 4 with points since the Christmas break. Mm-hmm. Are you Arteta in? Do you think they've made progress this year? They finished with more points than they did last year, for whatever that's worth. I guess you don't have to answer the Arteta in or out, but do you think they've made progress as an outsider?
Not really. I feel like this year they kind of stalled a bit. I'm not Arteta out. I'm not. And I think we talked about this a bit on the last podcast with Jasper a bit, but I think next year is going to be very telling for them. to see where they really, what direction they're going. I would just, I fear a little bit for Arsenal that if they don't start sorting things out, like, it's going to be hard to get back into that top four. It's going to become increasingly hard because City are going to keep spending money. Chelsea are going to spend money. United, Liverpool are going to spend money. Leicester have a better team than Arsenal. We don't know what's going to happen to Spurs. The Harry Kane possible move looms large. So they could be out of the mix a bit because I do think if they lose Harry Kane, unless they hit home runs with every person they sign, like that's devastating to them.
Yeah.
So I just think for Arsenal, this is going to be a very important summer window to see what they do. And I just think they need to start acting like a big club again too. Like a lot, so many players on loan. So many, like, they need to kind of figure this out. Like, I don't know. I'm a little worried. I am a little worried. I'm not trying to, like, be gloom and doom to you, but I'm just a little worried about
that. Yeah, no. And that's, after the season that we've had, you can be gloom and doom, and I don't think anyone would criticize. I will say that I am slightly optimistic. I do think they're going to spend a lot of money this offseason. I mean, we've offloaded the big paychecks of Mesut Ozil, Mustafi, Kolasinac. A lot of people who we didn't ever want, and we were paying their wages this entire year. Mm-hmm. And Willian, it looks like, could be departing too. Funny enough, David Luiz. Those guys are high earners, and Arsenal have a lot of space now to kind of maneuver what they want to do with the team, it looks like, at least. So, I mean, Arsenal already being linked to Buendia from Norwich City, who was phenomenal last year in the championship and a player that we both liked when he was in the Premier League. So that's an exciting one. Aouar from Lyon is still an option. Odegaard could potentially stay. Arsenal have a lot of shopping to do this summer, and if they do it right, I think there's going to be a vast improvement to this team. Also, not having any European football.
They missed out on the Conference League. My apologies.
So not having that, I think a lot of Arsenal fans are seeing this kind of as a blessing in disguise when you can just focus on the weekend match.
I agree with that. I think we talked about that last. I think focusing fully on that is going to be very important. I think the training that you get by not having those extra games, so you can train more during the week. And as COVID protocols start to relax, they can train more. I think that's crucial for Arteta trying to play the system he's trying to play. Your players need to truly understand how to play that system.
Yeah.
Which I think has been a problem at times.
Yeah, definitely. I 100% agree with that. But also, we're bringing back Joe Willock on loan.
No, that's
happening. I don't think they're going to sell him. Fabrizio tweeted that they're bringing them back and only for a top offer he'll be sold. So I don't think Newcastle is going to make any £50 million bid or something like that. I think you need to give Joe Willock a chance for sure after what he's shown us at Newcastle.
Oh, it only takes 10 to 15 to get Jack Harrison, so maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sorry, that's my anger.
Joe Willock could be coming back. I think he is. Saliba's going to be back in the Arsenal team if Arteta doesn't exile him again.
Maybe.
So, I mean, there's a lot of promise. When you look at, on paper, this Arsenal team, there's a lot of promise. When you look how they finished the season, there are signs that they're trending upwards. I think the thing for them that's going to be crucial is getting another center back, which apparently they're looking at someone from Leverkusen. His name escapes me right now, but he's a young center back from Bayern Leverkusen who's pretty highly rated. They're looking at him. Getting a center back, figuring out our right back position since it looks like Hector Bellerin is leaving, and getting an attacking midfielder, whether that be Joe Willock, whether it be continuous with Odegaard or Buendia, Aouar. And then something that I think most Arsenal fans aren't concerned about is the striker position.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit concerned about Lacazette and Aubameyang. I think Aubameyang and Lacazette are both fantastic players, fantastic goal scorers. But I wonder how many more points Arsenal would have if we really had someone like super clinical. You know, because both of those guys, as good as they are, there are moments where they're just not on their game, just like anyone else. But it feels so, I don't know, just continuous with them.
Well, here's a question I'll ask, and then we'll move on, because I think we did
end up talking about Arsenal for a while, which we always do. That's my fault.
No, it's fine. I enjoy talking about Arsenal at this point. It's like I'm like a...
It's a comedy show.
I feel like I'm like not an Arsenal fan, but I'm along for the ride. Like
you're an Arsenal therapist.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a sympathizer.
Dr. Malfi talking to Tony Soprano about his Arsenal problem. My question is, who is that clinical striker, though, that Arsenal could realistically bring in?
I don't know.
There's not that many of them. As a fan of a team that's looking for a striker, there's not that many.
No, I agree. But I think it might just be like giving someone like Gabriel Martinelli more chances to play that central striker position. Mm-hmm. Or even it's just maybe, I think a lot of why Aubameyang has struggled this year is because the tactics don't line up with how he plays. I mean, if you watch the matches, it looks like he might get 10 touches on a ball for 90 minutes. And obviously it's not his fault that he's not scoring. So I don't know. I honestly don't. Apparently, I'm not remembering names now, but there's a player from Celtic. I feel like his name is Edward or something. I don't know. But a striker from there has been linked to Arsenal for some time now. I don't know if there's a single player that could fix the problem. I mean, there is. We could bring in Harry Kane, or we could bring in Haaland, and that would probably fix our finishing problem. But I think that might be something more tactical and like I said, maybe trying out the Balogun issue.
Edouard.
Yeah, Edouard. I was close. Or I got it right. But,
you kind of get it right.
But yeah, maybe trying out Martinelli or giving our 19-year-old Balogun, who is supposedly a star boy, a chance.
But can you risk the season on doing that?
No, you can't. But I think if you play like these last five matches, I mean, there was something on the line, kind of. Mm-hmm. We needed to get lucky, and we very almost did. But I think like Balogun probably should have played in a few of those matches, or at least come on as a sub.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But
well, you get Arteta comes from the Pep Guardiola school of you got to really earn it before you play if you're a good player.
Yep, that's for sure. But I mean, the development of Bukayo Saka and Emile Smith Rowe are the two gigantic highlights of this season.
Yeah. Can I ask a question? Why are Arsenal not in for Donnarumma?
Yeah, I was wondering that too. He must already have a destination.
Is it the wage?
Even if it is, you should get rid of Leno instantly if you can get that guy.
So that's the thing. He's a free. He's free.
I know.
Now, granted, he's got Raiola as his agent, so he's not really free. You're going to end up paying Mino $30 million probably just to get him over there, and like another $30 million for a signing bonus or whatever it's going to be. But I just find that weird, like with the rumors that were there for Leno, with the not great season that Leno had, I just feel like they could use him. I feel like there should be a lot of teams in for him, and right now it doesn't seem like we know what the plan is for him.
It almost sounds like Juventus is the plan.
Maybe. But Chesney's been fantastic for Juventus over the years. Maybe that's a move. Maybe that's where he's going. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Chesney is getting up there too. I mean, he's still relatively young, but
yeah. I don't know. I don't think he would want to come to Arsenal. He'd probably want Champions League football. But who just signed? AC Milan just signed the goalie from
Lille.
Lille. Mike Mangian.
Dude, just been as good as I could do.
And supposedly he had a phenomenal year.
Yeah, he did.
And they got him for super cheap.
13 million, I think 13 million or something like that.
So
yeah, and Maldini has come out and said that Donnarumma will be leaving AC Milan.
Yeah, it's a sure thing. But Arsenal in for Onana, the doping goalkeeper. So we'll see how that works out. But I don't think Leno's going to go anywhere.
Oh, breaking news. We're going to break news. I wish we had like a drop. Boom, 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 boom. Zinedine Zidane decided to leave Real Madrid.
Zinedine Zidane. He's leaving Real Madrid.
He's leaving
That's official.
Real Madrid, yes.
Fabrizio Romano confirmed?
Confirmed. Here we go.
Ooh.
He didn't hear we go it, but it's confirmed. He's out.
Also, Antonio.
Literally 40-something seconds ago.
Oh, wow. And Antonio Conte also left Inter today.
So Max Allegri, your new Real Madrid manager.
Or Antonio Conte.
I think it's Max Allegri, as in like they've basically said for like 2 weeks now that he has told everyone, I have no interest. I am only interested in Real Madrid. So it sounds like he is the new Real Madrid manager.
Yeah, well, TBD there. But anyways, Jimmy, back to the Premier League. That was some good breaking news.
Pew, pew, pew.
Let's go to the other side of North London and talk about Tottenham Hotspur a little bit, who did finish in that Europa Conference League spot, that coveted Europa League conference. That could seriously be their first trophy. I mean, it very well should be. But they were able to squeak in there after a late win against Leicester City. They scored in the 87th and the 90th to secure that victory over Leicester and secure their spot in a quote-unquote European competition. So they finished the season with 62 points. They were the champions of the first half of the Premier League. What are you thinking about Spurs' season, Jimmy? Is it a positive for the future, or are Spurs trending downwards in
your
opinion?
It's a disaster.
Yeah.
It's an absolute disaster.
That was a leading question.
Bigger disaster than Arsenal's, because the thing is this, they actually have a true one of the best players in the world player. And this year, they missed out on the Champions League. They missed out on the Europa League. Harry Kane is gone. Like the rumors are real. He's doing interviews now, playing golf with Gary Neville. Like, he's leaving. I don't see any way he doesn't leave. And that is literally, like, it makes their season the worst season of anyone in the league. Worse than Sheffield, worse than West Brom, worse than Fulham.
All right.
I'm serious. So, like, they're losing. I think they've lost Harry Kane. So I'm being a little hyperbole with the worst in the teams being relegated. But Harry Kane is one of the best players in the league in the world. And yeah. I just don't see any way he is playing for Spurs next season.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the outlook for Spurs, I think, is bleak. They could definitely be losing Harry Kane. They could lose Son. It looks like Bale is done with them. TBD. That's three out of three of their best players.
Yeah.
And what's the deal with Hugo Lloris? Is there a deal with him? Why do I feel like I've heard something that, not that he's leaving, but like he might be done with them soon. I don't know. I could have just completely made that up. Don't take anything that we say on this podcast as
I was going to say, I thought you were breaking news.
No, that's made up. That's fake news. That's fake news. That just, I had a minor stroke, I think.
I think it's just he's getting older. Maybe they're looking for someone. I don't know.
I created a transfer rumor in my brain.
Well, that's how you create a transfer rumor. That's how you start it. And now you start sending like little tweets about it. I'm hearing from a good source, Hugo Lloris is leaving Spurs.
Yeah. I'm going to start that rumor actually after this podcast.
He's going to, where's he going? Marseille?
Yeah, he'll go back there. Somewhere in France, because he's French. But yeah, the outlook is bleak. Their season ended so poorly. I think the big issue with them is who the hell is going to come in and manage that team?
I'm so intrigued by this. That I do have to admit. I am intrigued to know who's going to be their manager. I think it should be Graham Potter.
That's a good shout. I don't think they'll do that, though. That's too intelligent. It is. Just like Arsenal wouldn't hire him because it's too intelligent.
Well, who do you think it's going to be then?
I think it's going to be someone weird. Or maybe not someone weird. I think it might be the guy from Dortmund, whose name is also escaping me today. What the fuck? I can't think of anyone's name.
Ragnick? That guy?
No, I don't think so.
I think that's who you mean.
I don't know. Anyway, yes. The manager of Dortmund now.
I'm serious. Isn't that the guy? Isn't it Ralph Ragnick?
I don't know. Probably. I'm not remembering the name. But he was linked. Ten Hag from Ajax.
He was the Leipzig guy. That's Ragnick. I knew that name, but he's been somebody who's been linked with them.
He was
a Leipzig guy. Originally left, came back.
More misinformation.
No, this is accurate. I'm serious. He was at Leipzig. Then he left. Then he came back last year before they hired. Well, he came back in 19 before they hired the young stud whose name is escaping me now.
Dude, you got your laptop. I'm looking it up.
The guy going to Bayern, the young stud, the 30-something-year-old.
BVB manager.
No, we're talking about.
Oh, you're Leipzig. Talking about Jesse March.
No, I'm not talking about Jesse March.
Oh, what the fuck is his name?
Nagelsmann.
They're the same. Jesse March and Nagelsmann.
They're the same. I hope so for our sake.
But anyways, the manager that I was talking about was Eden Terzic from Borussia Dortmund.
Ah, Terzic.
My
course.
God, what a rant we just went on. That should give everyone who listens to this podcast exactly what they need to know to never listen again. I mean,
this has been quite a disaster of an episode. Yeah. I was so excited we bought the new mic.
I know. This is a test episode because next week we're coming strong with the Euro content.
Oh, I'm honestly so excited to talk about the Euros.
I know.
Can I just say, I'm Eric Laporte. he got in the racial draft and he's now Spanish. So he has left Spain and he is representing. I mean, he's left France. He's representing Spain now.
The racial draft. Jimmy has gone off the rails this episode. Jimmy's one step away from being canceled.
You don't remember the racial draft?
That's the Chappelle show shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, we talked about Spurs a little bit. The outlook is bleak. I don't know who else we want to talk about, Jimmy. Let's talk about what's the team that has stolen our hearts this year.
Well, I don't know if they've stolen my heart, but the one team I want to talk about the most, I just want to give credit to West Ham.
That's not what I was thinking.
I know it's not. I know who you wanted to talk about, but I want to talk about West Ham just because they finished in the Europa League spot. They are going to Europe. A team which their own fans came on this podcast and said, do not support this team. They will make you sad. They talked about them possibly getting relegated. And this team is going to Europe. David Moyes. Round of applause for David Moyes.
Yeah. Well deserved. I mean, West Ham have been phenomenal for long stretches of this Premier League season. They kind of tailed off a little bit towards the end. Mixed results.
Mm-hmm.
But Thomas Suchek, Jesse Lingard. I mean, phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Just phenomenal. Declan Rice had a great year. A lot of excitement around that team, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, they just overall just outperformed across the board. I mean, Mikel Antonio still just so much fun to watch. Just a very, just an interesting player is the best way I can put it.
I love him. Just, I think he's amazing.
When he's on the field, he's electric.
Yeah, he is. He's a bull. He's awesome. But yeah, West Ham, phenomenal. I guess, would you say that Bielsa is your manager of the season? Or would you say that David Moyes is your manager of the season?
Moyes. I think Moyes. I honestly think Bielsa's more fun. He's a better manager. I'm not saying that Moyes is better than Bielsa. I just think for this West Ham team that everybody was down on to finish sixth was just a major, major accomplishment. I think Leeds finished exactly where we predicted them. I think I literally went on like everything and I said 9-11. 9-11 is where they're going to be. They finished ninth, which was the high end of that prediction. But I think everybody looked at that Leeds team would be also with the squad they had. And with the money they spent bringing in a player like Rafinha and Llorente and players like that, I think people thought that they were going to be a good team, and they were.
Yeah. Yeah. I've enjoyed watching Leeds so much this year. The style that they play has really stolen my heart. I mean, the fans on Twitter and that we've talked to a few times from All Leeds TV, they've been phenomenal. Just a very fun team to watch and get behind. That's my recommendation, if not Arsenal, for a team that anyone listening who doesn't have a team should support. But they won their last four matches. They finished the season 2 points behind Arsenal in eighth place, granted. Not a great year for Arsenal. But 59 points on the season for a newly promoted team is phenomenal.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Credit to Leeds. And another team, just an honorable mention, Aston Villa. Enjoyed watching them so much this year. Newcastle finished in 12th with 45 points. Who would have thought that? On the back of Joe Willock.
Yeah, it kind of was.
Really?
I mean, we were calling for Steve Bruce's head for a while.
He should have been fired. Like, that's not us.
I was going to say, and we were 100% right.
Yeah.
Regardless of where they finished, I still think we were right.
Seriously.
But whatever. But I do want to move us on a little bit to talk about the Champions League final because we are going long.
Yeah, that's true.
So we'll briefly touch on it. We'll talk more about a review of it next week. Maybe we'll do like a quick review episode and then we'll jump into our Euro content.
Yep.
But I just want to ask you, Michael, just right off the bat, who is going to win the Champions League? It's an all-English final. It's not in Turkey. It's in Portugal again. Who's going to win?
Manchester City.
Oh, hallelujah.
And I'm going to bet on them, Jimmy.
No, don't bet on them.
I'm going to bet on them, so they're going to lose. Because anything that's obvious and should happen will never happen. Let's actually see what their odds are, Jimmy.
I do want to say you did bet on the Champions League final last year.
And I was
a
winner.
And you actually won that bet. So I don't feel as nervous as I would usually feel when you say you're betting on something.
I know, but last year felt so obvious too. I guess it really wasn't. City are -118 and Chelsea are +320.
Wow.
That's a trap bet. That's a trap bet. Or very close to one at least. But yeah, I think the form that Chelsea have had lately in matches that they really would have liked to win or need to win. They impressed me against Leicester. Still made a mistake that cost them a goal. Still missed a lot of chances. Unluckily, some of them. The Timo Werner handball inside the net, for example. But Chelsea's form has been poor. I don't think they're going to be able to cope with the Manchester City team, who knows what they're about at this point. Granted, Chelsea have beat them the last two times they played, right?
Yep.
But I don't think that's going to happen again. I think Manchester City will be ready to go for this one. I think they're going to be up for it.
Yeah, so I hope you're right. I really hope you're right. And I don't want to say anything bad about Chelsea that then when they, if they were to pull a victory, I then would have to be like, well, this is my fault because I brought it up and this is like bad karma against me. I do want to talk about the injuries coming into this game, which Chelsea have two big ones potentially.
Yep.
And I will say, I think in the end, I think they both play, but it's N'Golo Kanté and Edouard Mendy.
Yep.
Two very, very, very important players.
Cornerstones of the team, yes. Really.
I think they both will play. I think Kanté 100% will play. Mendy's a little more dicey, but I think he'll play.
Yeah, I think they both play too, but I'm not sure that that's going to be enough. The thing that bothers me about Chelsea is they don't take their chances.
I'm glad you said it, not me.
Yeah, I mean, they create a lot of chances. There's no doubt about that. Timo Werner is phenomenal at creating chances for himself, so big credit to him there. Christian Pulisic, I think, is one of the better players in the Premier League at creating chances. And Mason Mount has been phenomenal this year in doing just that. It's just I don't think they score enough of them. And City are going to punish them. And I think that Chelsea defense, you know, they've been very solid. It's really not as good as the stats would say, I don't think. That might be a hot take, a bad take. But, I mean, Antonio Rudiger, who has been great since Tuchel has taken over, really, I don't know that he can withstand the Manchester City attack at full strength, really going for it.
I hope you're right. I will say, I think this is like, this to me, and this is what I want, maybe it's just me imagining it, like, I look at Phil Foden in this game and what he can do with the ball and the way he attacks teams. This could be his coming out party. Scoring for City in the Champions League, the City fan doing it, the goal he scored against Brighton the other day, like Messi-esque of just taking on the whole team and then just with a cool, calm finish. This could be his coming out party. I really think he's already arrived. I mean, I think it's like everyone now knows how good he is, but this could be that moment where it's like elite, like people realize it. And I hope that's what happens. I think City are going to run a very... That's the thing. The last two losses to Chelsea have been with basically reserve teams for City. The game in the league, Ederson and Ruben Diaz were probably the only two starters that played that game. Yeah. And that being said, if Aguero doesn't do that god-awful penalty he does, City probably win that game anyway.
Yeah.
And they should have at least... Well, they probably should have won anyway because there was a blatant foul by Kurt Zouma on Raheem Sterling too.
Yeah.
But I think we'll see the same lineup we saw against PSG. So the attack of Mahrez, Foden, and with Bernardo and De Bruyne kind of rotating in. I think that's City's best lineup. I hope we have Fernandinho in there. I think he makes all the difference in the world. I hope City... This is a game about who takes their chances. Because City at times have been not great at taking their chances too.
Yeah.
But it's going to be all about that. I feel like we could see an early goal in this game. And then there's going to be so much pressure on the other team. And it's going to be interesting to see how they react. I don't know why I have that feeling. I think it's just because of recent Champions Leagues. We've had a lot of those early goals. I'm thinking of the terrible handball by Sissoko.
Yep.
And like things like that. So I'm just very, very excited. That's all I can say. I'm nervous, but I'm excited.
What's your score prediction? We do need that. That's required.
2-1 Manchester City.
2-1 City. I'm going to go 3-1 City.
That would make me feel better.
I don't see this being that sweaty of a game for City. Like, I think they're going to control it well. I think they're going to get an early goal, and I don't think you're going to have to sweat this one out.
God, I hope you're right.
I hope so too. You know, I'm rooting for City here. I want to experience at least or be in the vicinity of someone whose team is winning a trophy like that, because God knows I'll never experience that kind of joy.
Yeah. And I'm going to a party after it. Technically, I'm going to be late because of the game, but I'm going to a party after it. I've said to everyone is I'm either going to be very, very happy and be a great time at that party, or I am going to be drinking heavily in sadness.
that's going to be an interesting day. We have to watch the game together.
Yes, absolutely.
But Jimmy, I want to end the podcast. Yeah. I want to live commentate this penalty shootout that we have here, Villarreal and Manchester United. But I think we should probably just cut it short.
I think we're going to end it there. I don't want to, because this could go on for a while. You never know. So we're going to watch the penalty shootout now.
Congratulations, Villarreal. You did it.
You did it, Unai. Congrats.
Oh, I'm excited to see what happens here. But yeah, Jimmy, I'm excited for this weekend. I'm excited to see what happens here. And I'm excited for the Euro.
Euro is going to be awesome.
We will discuss at length in the coming weeks. We're excited. We're ready. Jimmy, before we go.
Forza Azzurri.
Why don't you hit him with the plugs?
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Soccer Mostly. Email us mostlysoccershow@gmail.com. If you have anything you want to hear about the Euros, anything you're looking for info, if you want to tell us info, you want to tell us about your country, tell us about your country. We want to hear it. So any of those platforms, reach out to us. We look forward to hearing from you.
Yep. And as always, we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.